When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Kiano Theater has a special performance coming up tomorrow with Royal Wood and Jeffrey Straker bringing their show to Fort McMurray for the first time. I chat with both performers as well as Eugene Carnegie from Kiano Theater about the show. Joining me on the phone here today is Royal Wood. He's one of two performers coming to the Kiano Theater on Tuesday, March 26th. Royal, how's it going here today?
It's going very well, thank you.
That's good to hear. You're on tour with Jeffrey Straker. How's it gone here so far?
It's been amazing. The crowds have all been super, you know, engaged and excited to be there, and we're excited to be there. And I think especially after the pandemic and not touring for a bit, to finally consistently be back out on the road just feels like a fish in its natural habitat, you know, just swimming around.
And maybe just describe the talent that Jeffrey is and what it's like performing with him on a nightly basis.
Well, I've known of Jeffrey for a long time within the industry, and I started out just seeing his handsome face on a poster every once in a while. And then you start hearing the music, and you realize he's a marvelous storyteller and performer, and he certainly knows how to whip a crowd up into a bit of a frenzy. So it's a treat to watch, for sure.
You're heading to Fort McMurray, and maybe just remind us, have you performed here before?
I have not, no. I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I love that I get to do this for a living, and I get to travel all over the world and go to new cities and meet new communities and tell my story and share my voice. You know, it's what I always wanted to do as a kid, and I've been doing it now for 20 years, so I feel very, very lucky.
So again, fair to say that maybe some folks have not seen you play before. What can people expect from a Royal Wood show?
Well, I certainly try to tell a story both through song and through the conversation in between, the banter, and it's certainly life, right? You tell your story through your song and the life you've lived and the life you've been inspired to write about and connect with, and it's a human experience. I mean, that's what music is, especially the music I was raised on. You know, I was raised on 70s singer-songwriters, even though I was a kid of the 80s and 90s. And I feel like they did it best. I think that was I don't think we've ever surpassed the writing that happened in the 70s in terms of a song. And I think my songs touch on all those touch points. So,
what initially got you into wanting to do music for a career?
I started playing piano when I was four, and it was one of those natural things, right? There was a piano and a guitar in the house, and some kids pick up a hockey stick or a book, and I just wanted to play music. And I was blessed with a gift where I could play by ear at a super young age, and my parents supported it. And I studied piano and music and played in lots of rock bands all through school, but I always had my sights set on wanting to do this just for a living, and thankfully I do.
So was there ever that eureka moment where you knew you could do this for a career?
I don't remember ever not. In fact, my mom had these books for school. So your first day of school, you'd get your photo and, you know, she'd put your report cards and all your like things that happened throughout the year. And this started in like grade one. And at the front of each chapter, you're supposed to check off in all these little boxes. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I always consistently checked musician, where, you know, my brothers were like firefighter, astronaut. This is just always what I wanted to do.
What's your creative process look like when you're writing songs?
Well, you know, honestly, there is no consistent way. I think the main thing with me with inspiration is you have to keep showing up, and it's not always there. But I make myself write a song, and sometimes it's very inspired and very easy, and other times it's like going to work. But the good ones, as long as you keep showing up, they show up. And that's mainly it. A lot of times what I'll write is the melody first, and what I'm singing kind of comes out as gibberish, and then I just kind of go from there. But occasionally songs come fully formed, and those are the real special ones. If I knew where they came from, I'd go there more often, but I don't know why that happens sometimes.
You mentioned you grew up on the artists of the 70s when, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s. Who were some of those artists that you looked up to or still look up to when it comes to music?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Everyone from, you know, obviously Lennon and McCartney, but certainly Dylan was huge for me, Cat Stevens, and certainly a lot of the piano songwriters. I'm sure Jeffrey touched on them as well, but the Billy Joels and the Elton Johns, Carole Kings, you felt like you understood not only what they were saying, but what they were feeling. And it always hit my heart. It still does. I mean, those are still the musicians I go back to. And when I was a kid, I think one of the biggest reasons I was into that music was my uncle, unfortunately, passed away super young age. He was 24. Got killed by a drunk driver. And my dad, it was my dad's best friend by far, his brother, and he got his vinyl collection and gave it to my brothers and I. So we were listening to all that old vinyl and reel to reel when our friends were listening to Milli Vanilli and, you know, whatever else was popular in the 80s and stuff. We were listening to all the stuff that my uncle would have been listening to. So it was a really good education, and we got to skip a lot of bad music.
Royal, what's it like for you to perform on stage?
I definitely feel like it's home, you know. I understand the stage. I understand the entire day, the setup, the sound check. It always feels like home. And always has. It has since the first moment I performed in my parents' little living room. It just feels like it's what I was supposed to do. That I've never had a moment of doubt.
And Royal Wood, Jeffrey Straker, heading to the Cano Theater on Tuesday, March 26th. Where can people go if they want to learn more about you, Royal?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, this is the age of socials, so anything at Royal Wood, you'll find me, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or whatever. And then, obviously, the website is royalwood.ca. And, yeah, it's all over the good old streaming platform, so have a listen, and I honestly think people will love the show, and it's, neither one of us have been there or performed there, and it'll be a while before we'd come back, so I think you should come see it, and, yeah, I think those that love that era of music will certainly enjoy this show.
All right, well, Royal, we're looking forward to that show at Cano Theater. Thank you so much for the time here today.
It's been absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for the call.
We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Jeffrey Straker. He'll be performing at Cano Theater coming up on Tuesday, March 26th. Jeffrey, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing well. Saying hello to you from a van cruising down the Trans-Canada Highway.
Hey, on the road. Like to see it and like to hear it. You're on tour with Royal Wood. How's it gone here so far?
Oh, the shows have been really, really wonderful. We're kind of halfway through the tour at this point, and we've had great audiences at all the stops, and like, you know, really, really nice warm vibes in the theater and in the lobby after the shows, and it's been really well received, so no complaints whatsoever. I'm looking forward to those shows coming up.
In your own words, maybe just describe the talent that Royal Wood is and what it's like performing with him on a nightly basis.
Well, I'm pretty thrilled to get to do these shows with Royal. I've been a fan of his for quite some time, and I've had a chance to do some co-writes with him and some recording with him in the last few years. But this is the first time getting to do shows with him, and he's a multi-instrumentalist. He's a troubadour. He's a wonderful songwriter and singer, and he weaves together a really good show. And it's a treat for me to get to watch it each night after I play a set, the first set in the show. Then we take a break, and then I get to, you know, take in what he does night after night, and it's great. You know, audiences love it, and I do too. So it's a real privilege.
And you're heading up to Fort McMurray. Maybe just remind us: have you performed here before?
I've not performed in Fort McMurray before, so this is my world premiere in Fort McMurray, and I can't wait. I know it's probably our most northerly stop on the tour, though in January I had a one-off show that I did up in way up above the Arctic Circle in Nunavut. So I know we're not that far north, but as far as a drive, this is our longest, our farthest north drive. So I think the night before we're in Prince Albert, so we have a bit of a hike to get there, but we will be ready and raring to go.
And so it's fair to say maybe some folks in Fort McMurray have never seen you play before. What can people expect?
Well, I'm, as per the name of the tour, the Piano Men Tour, I'm a singer-songwriter pianist. And I think if people haven't heard of me before there in Fort McMurray, I think my music gets best classified as folk roots or folk Americana. And I write a lot of story songs and weave stories between my songs. And I come from a small town in Saskatchewan originally, so I have some, you know, prairie themes in my music as well that seems to hit home with audiences, particularly here across the prairies, but, you know, worked really well out on the West Coast too. So between my set and Royal's set, you know, there's a lot of musical storytelling and storytelling between the songs, and it seems the through line from my set to Royal's seems to work really well, and I think people were really enjoyed. It's gone really well so far on the tour.
What originally got you into music, Jeffrey?
Well, when I was a kid growing up on a grain farm in rural Saskatchewan, we had an old upright piano in our house, and my mom was a piano player, my dad was a banjo player, mom put us into piano lessons. At an early, all of my, myself and my siblings, all at a fairly early age. I started when I was six or seven, and for some strange reason, unlike my siblings, I really liked to practice, and I wanted to really impress my piano teacher, Mrs. Young, back in small town Saskatchewan. So I practiced from the get go, and I stuck at it, you know, for years, and it was having that piano teacher there in that small town that enabled the entire thing. Like, there, it's probably a day doesn't go by when I don't feel a bit of gratitude for Mrs. Young and those small town music teachers and piano teachers that, you know, enable a lot of people to enjoy playing an instrument. Of course, when I started out, I never imagined that I would do it as a job. You know, I was just playing the piano because I liked it, but it's turned into this, I guess I'm on my 17th year of doing music as my full-time work, all because of Mrs. Young, so I'm pretty grateful.
Was there ever that moment where you knew you could do this as a career?
It was kind of fun. I mean, it's a good question. When I did a pretty high diploma in classical piano, and then I realized I didn't want to be a classical piano player for my job. It wasn't for me. So I went off to university and studied science and moved to Toronto and got a job. And I had sort of this undeniable feeling in my gut that I wanted to give music a try as a job. And so the trick with that was I was working at a full-time job that had a regular monthly paycheck and benefits and all those things, and I just knew it wasn't for me. And so making the leap from that to the complete, you know, no guarantee, no sureties of life in the arts, that was really hard. But I did it just, you know, kind of on a whim, and people told me I was crazy, and people, I think, are kind of trained to want security. So everyone told me I was insane, and, you know, I should just wait till I'm 55 and retired and then go try this music thing. You know, it was people trying to give me their best advice, but sort of against their advice, I took the leap and quit the job, and I thought, I'm going to go out and tour around and see what happens, and slowly but surely I could see it working. So it really wasn't until I like left the job and cut the cord that I really felt like I'm going to give this all I got, and it has worked out. So, you know, and now it's taken me up to Fort McMurray, so I feel pretty blessed.
That's good to hear, Jeff. And what's the creative process look like for you when you're songwriting?
Well, it's the creative process is kind of tricky these days when there's so many shows and there's a lot of work outside the making of the road or even just going about my day, even if I'm back home in Regina. I'm typically capturing little ideas, lyric ideas or music ideas in my iPhone as I go about my day. And I've found one really interesting route into creativity, which is I'm a runner, and I run quite a bit. I run about 40 kilometers a week or so. And I do that because I eat a lot of pie, so I have to wear it off. But what I find when I'm in motion that I can sort of access my subconscious, and it's a weird sort of thing. But when you get in there, that's where all the great ideas are. And so I'll capture those ideas when I find them, when I can, and then I carve out time later on sitting at my piano. And when I need sort of, a couple, 3 hours just to know in my head that I've got the space to explore. And that's typically when these little ideas can sort of blossom into something a bit bigger. And that's where an idea sort of turns into an actual song. And it's a funny process, because as a songwriter, there's kind of this grand experience in your head and your heart. And, it's this very introverted kind of existence. Particularly if you're writing solo, sometimes you can do a co-write, and that's still a pretty secluded experience, you and another person in a room. But then you got to take that thing you've created and go sit on a stage and have this grand extroverted experience with an audience. And so as a writer and performer, you're kind of straddling these two worlds, and it's two very different headspaces, but I really enjoyed them both. So that's kind of the Reader's Digest version of how it goes.
And who are some of the artists you've looked up to or still look up to when it comes to your music?
Whoa, that's a good question. I mean, particularly given that this is called the Piano Man Tour, I think growing up, some of the early people I sort of looked to who kind of made me think it was possible to be someone sitting at a piano singing songs were perhaps some of the obvious ones, like some of the obvious ones I would have heard on the radio growing up, like the Billy Joels and the Elton Johns and the Carole Kings. I'm a big Carole King fan. But then outside of that, I mean, there were just people who were telling stories set to music. I'm a unending fan of Joni Mitchell and her lyricism and her crazy chord progressions. And then people like, Gordon Lightfoot and Neil Young and people who are telling stories just through song. That it really intrigued me how you could have these what seem to be pretty simple melodies and not really complicated chord progressions, but keeping it simple was sort of the order of the day, just while weaving a story that could hold people in their hands for 3 or 4 minutes. It just seemed like almost like magic, and I was always intrigued by that. I think those 70s writers are still some of the ones I always go back to, and I just have such deep admiration for them.
Alrighty, Jeffrey Straker set to perform at the Cano Theater on March 26th. Where can people go if they want to learn more about you?
Well, I would send people to my website for sure, jeffstraker.com, Straker, Straker, in case they're snooping online. I've got social media pages on all of the platforms too, if they want to check out Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, etc. I would love to see folks in Fort Mac coming out to the show. I think they'll really love it. Much like a country music show, or probably some of your folks in Fort McMurray. I know there's a lot of East Coasters there. Much like a lot of the East Coast songwriters that I follow too. We've got a lot of stories and good laughs to share in this show. I think it's going to be a really good night.
Awesome, Jeffrey. Looking forward to seeing that show up in Fort McMurray. Thank you so much for the time here today.
Thank you.
Eugene Carnegie from Cano Theater joins us next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Eugene Carnegie, the director for the Cano Theater. Eugene, how's it going here today?
Things are great. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Hey, glad to have you back, Eugene. First things first, we got a couple of shows coming up here at Keanu Theater. I wanted to ask, how do you go about selecting these shows to bring to Keanu Theater?
The process is a bit long. We actually start selecting things like for the 24-25 season coming up next year. I started work on that back in September of 23. I start meeting with some of the other theater companies that travel throughout the province and present similar acts that we do. We start comparing notes and we start talking about who's available on tour. We start reaching out to agents at that point, asking similar questions. And then through a process of a lot of conversations, phone calls, whenever we can, we go down to actually see artists. There is a fantastic event that's been happening in Fort Saskatchewan the last 10 or 12 years I've been attending that is all about artists presenting to a room full of theater owners and managers. And basically they have 15 minutes to wow us. So they bring out some of their best stuff and do a really quick short performance. And based on what we see there, the overall audience reaction, that really has a big influence on whether we go ahead and pursue them as an act or not.
I was just about to ask, how does the theater prepare for a new show like this? Because Jeffrey Straker and Royal Witt have not been to Fort McMurray before.
So they're a great example of, I had seen Jeffrey Straker at a showcase in Fort Saskatchewan a couple of years ago. I saw Royal Wood at another showcase in Vancouver. That was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And each of those times I put them onto the list of, these are guys that I want to see and I want to have come and present to our audience here, because they were really great storytellers. Their music is really kind of catchy. It's got some good beats behind it all. It makes you kind of dance in your seat. And then it's really just a game of, can we get them to line up with our theater's availability, their touring schedule. These guys have been all over the country and they jump off into the United States and parts of Europe as well on occasion. So trying to get that things to line up and then to have enough dates in a row in the rest of the province for it to then be worthwhile is the last piece of that puzzle. So sometimes we scout out these artists and it's 2 or 3 years before we finally have a chance to actually bring them up. And it's certainly a case with these two fine gentlemen. But once the ball started rolling and both of them were on tour at the same time, we said, okay, absolutely, we've got to make this happen.
What are some of the challenges you face bringing in new shows like this?
Our single biggest challenge would be our locations. We are not a through place to anywhere else. So when you are planning a tour and you want to get the maximum number of shows they can in a short period of time, we need to be very cautious on where we line up inside of that tour, because it's up Highway 63 and back down. So it usually means having a stop on one side of Edmonton and then another stop on the other side for us to fit into our tour nicely. Or we end up with, in the case of Straker and Wood, they're coming from Prince Albert the night before, and there's actually a whole travel day between their Sunday night performance and our Tuesday night.
Was there ever a show that you thought was maybe just a risk for Keanu Theater, maybe it wouldn't draw well, etc., that came in and really surprised you?
A very good question. There are lots of shows that we will present that have a bit of a risky feel. There was a fiddle group a number of years ago, the Fitzgeralds, and they performed a show called Everything Fits. And they're a family of fiddle players from the East Coast. And again, it was one of those things, we saw them in the showcase and we're just amazed by their talent. The family ranged, I think, age 6 to, you know, the dad in his mid-40s. And all of them played. There were 7 or 8 of them. And a lot of them did trick playing, which was really kind of fun to watch. And we said, well, is this going to go well? And we had a bunch of audience members that came in and they took that risk too. They said, well, we never heard of these guys before, but it sounds interesting. and everyone was blown away, especially when that six-year-old comes out there and puts a fiddle behind her back and starts banging away like you had, you know, absolute kitchen party sort of feel there, and the crowd loved it. Everyone had a great time. But that would be an example of taking a risk on both a performer and an audience coming in to say, eh, I don't know what this is like, but damn, did they love it.
We mentioned Royal Wood and Jeffrey Straker coming up on March 26th here. What can people expect from that show?
These guys are storytellers, first and foremost. I mean, Royal was awarded Songwriter of the Year by iTunes, and his stories really are telling you about love, about life, and that's what you'll pick up the most. We've got a lot of fun kind of pop feel to it for Royal Wood. Jeffrey Straker's a Saskatchewan boy and picks up a little bit more of a country to his songs. But both of them are really about telling a story, and both of them are going to let the audience know why the show or why the song was happening, what they were thinking at the time. And most of the time, those stories are going to be pretty fun to listen to. They both have a really good sense of humor, and that'll help drive that stuff in between. And that's what makes the live performance that much more exciting than just listening to a stream.
And what went into bringing this show up to Fort McMurray? You mentioned that this one in particular was a multi-year planning process.
So, as I said, the first time we had them present was 2016, and there was a lot of talk in that first year to try and bring Royal Wood up here, but just the tour schedules never lined up, and we kind of put that off to the back burner for a year or two. I think we tried again in 2019, but again, tour schedules just didn't work out. Jeffrey Straker was at a showcase just a couple of years later, and again, tried really hard to get him to line up, but as he did a tour through Saskatchewan and Eastern Alberta, again, we just could not draw him up here on the dates that we had available. And then serendipity struck. The two of them ended up on a tour together, and we had this open date, everyone lined up, and here they are.
It's great to hear.
There's definitely an element of luck inside of getting these things to go together as well. And persistence. We just got to keep trying.
Absolutely. What else is coming up at the theater here in, you know, the next month or so?
Our next big performance, well, we've got a comedy group. Our friends Mike Lynch are doing a show called Land and Cecil, stand-up comedy from Newfoundland. These guys draw a big crowd every time they come by, and if you haven't got some tickets for that one yet, you might want to hurry. Otherwise, we are looking at Le Liaison Dangereux, which is our last drama of the season. Despite the French name, it is in English and is a play centered around the French aristocracy just before the revolution. And really, it kind of builds up on how despicable these noblemen were, how poorly they treated their servants. And you can really see, okay, this is why the French Revolution happened. There's been a couple of shows that have been played out by it. Dangerous Liaisons was a movie from 1986, I believe, starring Glenn Close, that follows the play very well. And Cruel Intentions from the early 90s is another movie that is based on basically the same story as Le Liaison Dangereux.
And where can people go to learn more about Keanu Theatre and find tickets for these shows?
Of course, all of our stuff is available online, tickets.keanu.ca. We've got show descriptions and a list of everything coming up, as well as the opportunity to purchase anything you would like.
Awesome, Eugene. Thank you so much again for the time today to chat about not only Keanu Theatre, but also the upcoming performance of Jeffrey Straker in Royal Wood on March 26th.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to my guests for joining me on today's program. We have a lot more in store for you this week, including a busy show for you tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Have a good day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.